So Zalzar's in Honiston, my favorite spot, the Honiston Hotel. Rog Newman, Roger Dodger, thanks very much. Just missed Dion Davids. He had gone to Somerset West for his mom's birthday, so we wish the family well. We were going to have a Lucky Brian Cussie's by. And then I met this wonderful couple, Byron and Megan from Newland / Rondebosch. He's a psychiatrist, psychologist. And it's a good thing he is, because at times during that Stormers game, I may have tapped into him. But the one thing I found out about Honiston that I didn't quite know was just how many Bulls supporters there were.
Oh, really?
So I watched the games. It was 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, obviously, the Bulls against Leinster and Stormers against Scarlets. And I came down to that wonderful bar that you know so well, where you drank many a Jägermeister. and all the TVs had the Bulls game on.
No.
And I said to Henry, hey, where's the Stormers game? Round the corner, one TV in the corner.
What?
It was just myself, Gil, Byron, and little Pikey, obviously, and Megan. And we were the only Stormers supporters in that hotel.
How?
The rest of the bar was packed with Bull supporters going ballistic.
From the Western Cape.
The Aisters of the world were there. Okay,
I don't believe it.
And like, don't even try and change that TV. And then I found out the Seahawks were playing down the road, so all the Stormers supporters were there at the local club. But when the Stormers scored their bonus point try, I was the only guy that went, yeah! But when Darby Creel kicked that penalty, that place erupted.
Really?
Okay, because it was like 6 minutes later.
Wow.
And so it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend of rugger. And then to get two wins like that.
Yeah.
Before that, Ollie, I was at the pool having this really cool, relaxing time. And Ollie had texted me to say, hey, I see the Sharks are 28-17 up. So I got back to the room, 44 minutes in. I'll settle into this massacre. And next one, I'm texting him, hey, man, it's 34-28 to them, to Zebre.
Correct.
And then watched with absolute horror, the Sharks nearly throw it away in absolute disregard for the pillars, they call it down under. Just a shocking, shocking last 30 performance, and somehow got out of jail. And then the clutch kick from Jaden Hendricks as Darby Creel. They both got our clutch moments for the week. Just in case you don't know, it's on our newsletter. So, great weekend of rugger. Obviously, great being in paradise in the Honest. And I just want to say again to Rog Dodge, thanks very much. We'll sort you out when you come to the DHL Stadium. But, yeah, 3 out of 4 wins. We had 4 from 4, por favor.
Correct.
And then the Lions went and did what they always do to us. Broke our hearts.
Right. I think that the French may just sue the Sharks for copyright infringement. That team down there in Derbs, I don't know what is going on with those guys. They're playing like 60-second bursts, schizophrenic rugby. They go from looking like unbeatables to can't win anything. I don't know what is going on there. They look like a team that probably plays a lot on, I wouldn't say emotion, but almost reputation. It's a bit like a club side. Like, they've got great players, but you just wonder about some of the detail in their plan, because they're hot and they're cold and they're hot and they're cold. It's just the weirdest team to follow.
But at one stage, I thought, okay, it's got to be the humidity, but everything seemed to stick for Zebre, but nothing was sticking for them. But this absolute disregard, and that I probably watched then the worst 36 the worst, minutes of the match. But it was two counter-attacking. They do that great attack, and then instead of taking contact, he throws it inside, and boom, they score from 80 meters. And then the intercept, and then the score. And I thought he'd been hit by it. I thought someone had shot him from the crowd the way it went down, okay? Maybe someone wanted to end it all. Yeah. And then it just looked like they were not particularly interested in just conserving and playing with a bit more percentages and accuracy. Poor Sia Khaleesi must have thought he was a one-man band.
Totally.
And then even when they went 35-34 up, great conversion from Jordan Hendricks. Didn't have to rely on Jaden this week. And then they kicked deep, Zebre, and Mpimpi picked up the ball and decided he's going to run it back from 10 metres from his own try line.
I don't know what was
going on. Got smashed into touch on the 22. Potentially could have been penalised. And I was thinking, just kick it down 70 metres.
100%.
Let them run it back and score from 80.
They just extended the guy. I thought it was because he's an experienced two-time world champion. He's going to add a lot of mentorship value to that squad. But he's the guy who kind of needed mentoring on Saturday, because some of those decisions were shocking. Had a great run in the first half to set up a try. But then in the
second... For the boogeyman.
Yeah. But then in the second half, just absolutely like this guy, what are we doing? Insane rugby.
But the decision making, you could see it the whole time. I think it was Corne Rahl in right near the end of the game. He open field, he's got Andre the Giant on his outside, offload, and he decides he's going to take the tackle and then decides he's going to offload as well,
yeah.
Bouncing into his head. You can just see there were a few expletives there,
yeah.
And they were P-O, you know what, and F, you know what, and it was just...
The good news is, Sia Khaleesi playing some great rugby at 8, inside out, beats the guy on the outside, try time. I mean, he's in great form.
Well, five tries and an assist in his last couple of games, but playing with enthusiasm, playing like he really loves it, and playing for that 80 minutes, right through to the end, kind of like giving it his all,
yeah.
For Sharks. I just hope he paces himself and he's got something left.
Let's score all your tries.
Yeah, and he's got something left for the Springboks, yeah. You know, like they're still a big, they're still in the Challenge Cup, the EPCR Challenge Cup. They've still got five rounds of URC to play. They host Leinster. Leinster's 15. We won't call them an A, B, or C side, we'll call them Leinster's 15.
Yeah.
They host them in Durban. You're probably going to find they'll turn it on and have a magnificent performance, yet they just snuck in against Zebre, who were full value. If Zebre had won that game, you couldn't have disputed
Absolutely.
It. They just wouldn't go away. I just love their attitude in that last 36 minutes.
How's that fullback?
The only thing that I saw was the last 36 minutes. I confess, Sunday night I got home, I thought, should I try and watch the highlights in terms of the whole match? No. I sent my main man, Gav Rich. He was in Durban, having spent 2 weeks in the wilds. And I think he must have wondered why did he go to Durban to watch the Sharks, his favorite team. And Gav, I said to him, what was it? He said, I don't know. They just kept on kicking it to Zebra's best player. just kept on running it back.
Yes, he was freaking deadly, that guy. Hey? Wow, what a player.
Yeah, so Zebre, 5 wins out of 12. They got 2 points from that, losing bonus point and scoring more than scoring the 4 tries.
Yeah.
But they were going to close them down. There was talk that they were closing down. Talents only had one side, Benetton.
That's all they needed to hear, mate.
Benetton also got the win against Edinburgh.
Somebody should tell Dragons.
Which is very good for the South African teams because it basically keeps Edinburgh in that pack as well.
Yes.
Benetton then gets into that pack, but they've got a tough run. They've got to come to Cape Town especially. We'll give them a great time off the field, but not on the field. But wow, this weekend's rugger. We're going to chat about all the leagues, and we do that great recap now that goes out on our newsletter and then also onto the Kia site, where we kind of give it to you on a Friday morning, everything you need to know, scores, fixtures, teams, etc. And then on Monday morning by 7 o'clock in your inbox, you've got it. So it's live on the site, a recap. So for those of you who have been away for the weekend, you kind of heard the score, you didn't want to know the score, we give it to you all. We know that time is of essence to everyone.
Yes, indeed.
And if we can give you a wonderful way to use your time on rugby, then do it. Read our newsletter and read our wraps and read our previews.
Oh, did you say wraps, mate? I'm on
Friday and a Monday, but 3 from 4... it could easily have been 4 from 4, but the reality is it could also have been 1 from 4.
Yes, it could have.
So just with our 3 convictions and just with our 1 loss. Let's start with the Lions. Now, all is not lost for the Lions.
No.
And, you know, I showed them love again in the Sunday Times column. That's also you guys kind of take pieces out of SA Rugby magazine.
Yep.
And they were again good enough for the win, but they didn't get it.
No. They didn't get it, mate. They didn't get it. 2017, they lost in the Welsh capital. That game was on a platter for them. Some poor decision-making, unforced errors, beaten in the kicking game. Not pretty.
How was that hit on Kabakani?
Yeah, that was great. That scrum off. Yeah,
I don't want him to lose too much weight. I need 150 kgs of imposing. But he did get a bit of a hospital.
No, they gave him a hospital.
Hello.
They gave him a hospital. Hello. The other coaches had barbecue ribs, mate.
And a nice little spongy effect as he went in.
He bounced.
But it reminds me of when Mornay Steyn, when the Bulls played the Chiefs, and Brody Retallick got a little pop pass like that. Mornay Steyn got under him, drove him back and dumped him on his backside. It's great to see the little guy knock over the big guy. But again, when they went 17-10 up, I thought, okay, they're going to actually see out this game, and it's the kind of win they need to propel them into, give them a bit of breathing space in that fight for top 8.
Yeah.
And it was just so familiar. Good enough to win, but somehow not good enough to win.
The problem is that the Lions play that fast-paced game on the high felt. It's all about conditioning, and they use the altitude factor. But when they go and they play on these Lego pitches, it kind of puts them into overspeed. Like, they almost can't keep up with their own game. They got raided at the breakdown. They couldn't look after their own ball. And so the faster they played, the deeper they dug that hole. If the Lions, and they did do this in the second half. If the Lions had gone route one and played a little bit more one-pass rugby, been more direct, made those defenders honest, and then kind of had a shot or two out wide, I think they would have won this game comfortably. But they just kept feeding that Cardiff defense, which deserves some credit because it was really, really good. I think they made more than 200 tackles in that game. But the Lions just kind of fed that defense by isolating their own runners with this rapid game on that Lego pitch, and the results there for everyone to see. A real pity, because that's a game the Lions could easily have won.
And the Lions, in all their games, when they do get that score to go ahead, they seem to just cough something up straight away. Mm. And they work so hard to get a score. Mm. And then they just basically
that
give Marius it back.
Low intercept.
Yeah, through just an error. And immediately the momentum shifts to the other side.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw that when they lost to the Sharks. They fought so hard to get back. And then they dropped the ball from the kickoff.
You said lost to the Sharks, mate. Edwell Fanamava, they've lost him. He's going to the Sharks.
I know, it's a great signing as well.
For the Sharks, big loss for the
Lions. I've got to say to Marco Mazzotti and the boys, they're building one hell of a team to win the EPC Challenge Cup.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic player. And with those two young centers coming through, if they can feed that guy, he's going
to
break some
fast. It's a lot of money to spend on the Challenge Cup,
mate. It is, mate.
A lot of money.
I wonder if Edwell can lift, mate. Is he a good lifter?
What they will know is they'll get their game time out of him. Edwell Fanamava.
Yes,
they will. Very good player. It would be nice if he would come down to Cape Town, but he's kind of from these parts. He's had a very good career with the Lions. But obviously, he wants to play in front of a bit of a crowd. Durban gives that bit of a crowd, not like the biggest crowd.
Yeah.
But also a different lifestyle, and play with a team that has big, big ambitions in terms of their signings. But when you look at the money that's been invested in the Sharks, as an owner, you want them to be winning the URC and you want them to be in that last four of the Champions Cup and pushing for that. With the greatest respect to the Challenge Cup, that's a feeder into the other one. Mm. When you spend that kind of cash and you invest in those kind of players, your return is you want to see 15-seater type Khaleesi efforts every weekend when they play. Mm. And when you look at that pack that started against Zebre, that's four of the Springbok starting pack in there.
Totally.
And they weren't looking particularly good, except for the courageous King Khaleesi at number eight. And again, we know it's a long season.
But that's what the Sharks have got. I mean, you talk about the quality of the player, and that's true, but they also have depth. Like, you've got Giant and Lukanya Arm, and then behind them, you've got Boogie and Ethan Hooker. I mean, who else in the world can claim that sort of depth at the centres? And it's like that across the field.
Mate, in the Crusaders and the Blues, they say.
Mate.
It's just, let's not say who else in the world. Just say, I mean, who else in South Africa?
Name some teams, mate.
Say, well, like, Toulouse don't look too bad, eh? What they've got. Just as one, and Toulon don't look too bad either. And Bordeaux don't look too bad. Bordeaux, I know.
Yeah.
In South Africa,
yeah,
the Sharks are getting it right in terms of their depth. They've got it right in terms of signing Jordan Hendricks as well. They've got a guy who can play 10. Sia Mazuka's there as well.
Fassi's
still got to come back from injury. If you look at their squad and you look at their 30, they've got a 30 that should be competitive in the Champions Cup push. They're not. They're out of that. They're playing in the Challenge Cup. And consistently top four, pushing for a home playoff in the United Championship.
Yeah.
Rugby Championship. They are there at the moment. But hell, they've snuck a few as well, eh? And you just think you want that more. You want that kind of display they put on against the Bulls at Loftus. And that was with a team without any of the Galacticos in it. It was a very youthful, young team that went out, scored four tries and won very comfortably against the Bulls side. And we're down to 12 at one stage, playing 15. Now, is it a case of when you've got too many big name players in a side, the ambition is to play for the Springboks, make a statement? They know there's 15 test matches this year, plus the Barbarians game, the historic one in South Africa, first time ever. And they are all playing to pace themselves to be peaking in 2027, World Cup time in Australia, where Rassie, Sia and all the boys have said they want to make history, become the first team to win three on the trot.
I would say yes, that is an influencing factor if there were question marks around the intensity and maybe some of the commitment, like the will to win, maybe. But old Plumtree, he had some success with the Sharks with a bunch of World Cup winners who did well for the Sharks. That 2010 Curry Cup final, that was a team that was on the up. And that team was never caught short for sort of experience and savvy, you know. So I wonder, like, you know, I think there are a few Springboks, especially the older ones, who are thinking, okay, I've got to kind of, you know, I've got to pace myself for the next World Cup. But this Sharks team is making some very rookie errors, decision-making-wise, tactically. And that's what surprises me.
Would that be like maybe a disregard for the opposition in Zebre that mentally they felt this was 5 points in the bag, a comfortable win, and they start with those quick-fire tries?
I think that's possible. I think that's definitely probably a factor. But I also wonder, that's why I said the details in the plan. If the plan is not really clear on what you're going to do and where you're going to do it, if there's a lot of ifs and you know, if you see this, do that, and this is an option and that's an option, when the plan's quite loose, then there's the potential for things to get out of hand because guys kind of push the envelope. If Jake White says, listen, we're in our 40, we're kicking, and this is the kick, and this is the chase, this is the formation, this is the setup, etc., then it's quite difficult to veer off that plan because it's quite clear what you've got to do. But if the plan is like, look, if you think it's on, if the fullback's up, kick it long. If you feel like he's deep, have a chip and chase. We'll see how it goes. Then the game can get quite loose. So that's why I wonder how sort of detailed that Sharks plan is at the moment, because they're all over the place.
Well, I mean, they look like a Barbarians 15 in the way.
Very again, much.
Admittedly, the only 36 minutes I saw, which wasn't their finest, they got the win. 5 points banked. That's all they'll say at the end of the season.
True.
They're still in the top four. They've won 9 from 13 in a very, very congested table. But it wasn't a kind of performance that you...
Was convincing.
No, that you can't. And you think, thank goodness, it's a Leinster side that's very good still, but without 16 of their internationals, none of those, or 17. Those who were involved in the Six Nations, none of them travelled to Pretoria. We're going to get to the Bulls in a bit. I like to leave the juiciest for a little bit later. But if you, we touch on
when you
the
have
Lions,
like a steak and peas in that, do you eat the meat last?
No. I've been a vegetarian. I don't eat the steak. No, I eat the steak first, mate.
You see, mate. Huh?
You eat the steak
I'm
first.
I'm just saying.
And I don't have the chips anymore, as you can see.
You're carbless, mate.
Ripped and on a streak, okay? Spitting you out every day. Huh? I was at the gym at 5:45 this morning.
I know, mate. That's incredible.
Mate, thanks for the
inspiration. Do they make smoothies at 5:45?
No, I have to pass one by because my reward only comes on Thursday.
Oh, there we go, mate. You always smile on a Thursday.
Hi, can I have that big smoothie? No, your reward is only at 10 anyway. But Chris, what a different world to be there at 5:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
I know it's like most people, that is their world.
Yeah.
But for me, it was quite a revelation.
Yeah. I'm sure much busier, right? In terms of cardio and classes and stuff.
Yeah, but the pool wasn't too bad. But then I did get down to the engine just to get...
A pie.
Not to get a pie. The pies went bad. And I was that early.
Damn you.
But there were these two women who had come back from an all-nighter.
Sheesh. Trying to get on to a Monday morning.
Exactly, mate. At 10 to 7.
What?
They were trying to get to the loo, and the loo was locked. And it was just...
Wow.
I just looked at it and I thought, I feel so glad that I was at gym this morning. And my Monday's going to start like this as opposed to like that. And so I think I must... Maybe I felt like a player who goes into that Monday... video session feeling, this feels good, as opposed to players like, it's as if the game is still being played.
Yeah.
Why are we having this video session? Yeah. If we look at the Lions and we look at the Sharks, and we always have our Bock Watch barometer going.
Yes.
And like Russi, like he's named 80 players, so there's no real shocks in there. And he said a lot will play, some won't play. They're just in the mix at the moment for experience. But he's been quite clear in like his pecking order 1, 2, 3 and then kind of who he sees in those positions. But if you look at the players who have been identified who have played for South Africa already, when you look at the Lions and you look at the Sharks, who would you say are the ones who are consolidating it, the ones who are kind of making that jump, just from what you've seen, say, this last weekend? Because again, and I mean, this is no fault of the player, the disjointed nature of the rugby calendar is, it's two games and then we rest again. Like Stormers after Belfast don't play because they're not in the Challenge Cup or the Champions Cup.
Totally.
Then by the time you get back to this congested table, it's like, all right, there's going to be another break for 2 weeks. And so the table looks magnificent. It's like 15 teams in it at the moment. But you just never feel the build of this competition.
True.
This league. You never feel the intensity of, we've got 3-4 games in a row to build like this amazing interest. It's like, hey, do the Stormers lose? No, they're not playing. When are they playing? In 3 weeks' time. Oh, who's playing this? A Challenge Cup. The Currie Cup has started. It really is an issue when it comes to just having that holistic feel that it's a rugby season in South Africa.
Especially for us in the Southern Hemisphere, we're used to having competitions in blocks. You play the Currie Cup, you play the Super Rugby, you play the Rugby Championship. We're used to starting and finishing the whole thing, not kind of multitasking.
That's why I'm loving the Super Rugby. Mm. I know what it's going to be.
True.
They play every weekend.
True.
Play every weekend.
True. And it was great.
And it's a top six, and we know who's going through, and it's a semi-final and a final.
Yeah.
A quarter-final for those six teams, then a semi-final, a final, and it's played over a patch, and that is the one advantage they do have, that they're not trying to play three competitions at the same time.
Well, you can't, can you, when you're in the other side of the world, mate? There's nowhere to play.
You're in Japan, and Sun the Wolves. US of A, and Canada. Then you have a global competition.
Yeah.
But you haven't answered my question, so clearly there was none.
Look, I mean, I think Ethan, we didn't mention him. Ethan's
called. Well, let's get to the Lions first.
Cracking
your
try.
Team. Show them some love.
Yes, I like the Lions. I think Frankie Horn had a nice game.
Is he really going to play for
Mate, I think
South
he should. I think he should be given a gap, mate.
Who's he going to play?
He's quite an industrial bloke, that, and I like him very much. So I think he's a very underrated player. He doesn't do stuff that necessarily jumps out and grabs you, because he's not a Dwayne Vermeulen pounder, but his linking play and his athleticism, I think, is underrated. I think he's a very, very good player. So JC Pretorius is a guy who's probably never going to play for South Africa, but came up with some huge steals in that game. If you're looking for a fetcher, he's a guy who'll put his head in there.
Now, you say that with such conviction. Frank Horn's probably never going to play for South Africa, but JC Pretorius probably will, because it's like saying Kwaku Smith was never going to play for South Africa. Mm. JC Pretorius fits that, like, Kwaku Smith kind
of mold. He does
fit
that kind of mold.
And so Rassie, I'm sure, is looking at that kind of player. When you look at a Frank Kion, he's got to leapfrog Jasper. He's got to leapfrog Cam Hunter-Corbin. He's got to leapfrog Evan Ruiz. That's three big ones there.
Yeah, I don't know, JC. I think like Kwaku broke the mold. I don't think you're going to see a lot of 95-kilogram open-side fetches for the Springboks in the future. I think he's very much... Yeah, I think a guy like that has overachieved. It's done an incredible thing. It's a great feat. But I don't think that's not going to be the regular. And I think JC Pretorius fits into that kind of mold. With Frankie Horn, big ball carrier, can play 7-8. And yes, there is lots of competition for those places. But he's a classic South African loose forward, I would say. So I agree with you. He's got quite a few guys to knock over to get in there. I think JC's, for me, is a bit of a longer shot, but very good player. Potentially one of those guys who could have been an all-star if he'd stayed in sevens, and is kind of an overachiever hoping for a shot with the Springboks. But never say never with Rassie, like you just mentioned. He played an open-side flanker at hook in a World Cup final. So,
but if we look at that Lions pack, your main man, scorer of the opening
drive. Ntlaba Kanye.
Yeah, spell it backwards.
Ntlaba Kanye West.
He's going to be there and thereabouts. Then you think... There's no one really in that pack at the moment pushing for national honours. You've got Morne van der Berg, who's in the mix. He's a very important player to the Lions. Maybe you should think of going somewhere else as well.
You're trying to ship everyone to France now, mate.
No, I'm trying to get them away from it. It's
all to the Stormers.
So they can actually enjoy going to match.
No, look, I think Frankie Horn, Ruan Venter, PJ Boitsa is not...
I like Ruan Venter.
Ruan Venter's good.
But he
also needs to learn to bend at the knees, but very good player. PJ Boots is underrated. BJ's son, he's actually a very good hooker. And I know he's not on Rassie's radar right now, but he's a quality player. And Ntlaba Kanye is there. As long as you've got him there, you've got set piece. And that, like we spoke about before, Renzo Duplessis is a guy coming through.
How was his dummy, though, to
mate,
score?
Mate.
Did you see it on the reverse mate. Angle? It mate. Was great, eh? He threw it. I mean, you just knew he wasn't going to pass it. Lovely try, eh? Lovely try in Cardiff. Then Henko van Wyk, Of the World, Kuen Horn. I mean, are they good enough right now to push into that preferred 15? Are they the kind of team you'll play against Georgia or against an Italy, a Portugal, and say, I'm comfortable with that. But when you're talking the All Blacks, England, France, Ireland, do you think they're there or not yet?
If somebody else was coaching the team, I'd answer with conviction, but you just don't know with Rassie. Anybody you write off, he's going to pick, and they're going to be the captain and score the winning try. And everybody you say should be there, he'll never pick, and then they'll just fade away. So it's a tricky one. For me, I think Kuen Horn is a tackle breaker, probably has an underrated kicking game, and so adds unique value there at fullback. I'm not sure whether he's in the running to be a Bock this year against top teams, but I think he does get a run again. Henko van Wyk, I think also another tackle breaking guy, and tackle breaks are what underwrote the Lions' success in Super Rugby in 2017 or so. You know, that the Jaco Kriels of this world, those guys, their ability to snap a tackle and get the ball away is really what made the Lions so dangerous. So there is value in those guys. I'm just not sure there's enough of an all-round game to a guy like Henko van Wyk to make it. But I don't think that would be the popular opinion, but that's kind of my sentiment. I almost feel like he needs to be a little bit closer to the ball and play a bit more of a physical game, because he's hell of a tough and he's physical, can break tackles. I'm not sure he's got the speed for 13. But again, that's just my
Do you think 12 is more his position?
I think 12 is more his position. Again, that's just my personal opinion. I think Ethan Hooker is a guy with massive upside because he can do everything. He can play wing, he can play 12. Boogie's got the same thing. Maybe not the physicality, but the skills and the speed and the finishing instincts. I'm not sure. I think all of those kids are going to get a run at some point this season. Rusty's trying to stretch the schedule to add two extra matches. Plus, you've got the Barbarians. So I think a lot of those kind of guys get a run this year. I'm not sure how many guys actually break into that Bock 23. And I think if I had to pin it on a guy, I would probably say Ethan Hooker, because I really feel like he is close.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and the versatility offers 12, 13, he can play on either wing as well.
Yeah.
Just a big, big unit, but also just seems to have a very good feel of space. He support running lines, hell of impressive, and he's got a great attitude as well, very aggressive on the field. But the boogeyman, when he's played alongside Lukanya Am, that, you know, we spoke about that last week, the amazing advantage of an old hand and a young kid. And there's no compensation for experience, especially if it's an quality player. And because not every player who's got experience is necessarily that good.
Yes.
But, you know, I've been impressed with how he's come along and so quickly out of the under 20 ranks, basically into the Currie Cup, where he was very good, and now into the URC and into the European competitions.
You know what I like about Boogie is that at the junior levels, he was the robust, heavy hitter, tank center. And often those guys go to the next level and they're not the bullies anymore and they kind of disappear. And that hasn't happened for him. He's taken to it. He doesn't need to be the physical bully at the next level. He's got the skills and the quickness and the feet and the decision-making. So he's thriving at the next level. And that doesn't often happen. So that's very encouraging.
So you say, I mean, look, he's going to be in the mix as well. I mean,
for sure.
We know that he's highly rated by the box coaching staff. Ethan Hooker, obviously there. You like Ethan Bester, who's in the Shark squad at the moment.
Yeah.
Pepsi, I see Rassi has been quoted as saying that he rates him, what he rates about him. Mm. When you look at someone like Fussy, it's also you see how much he means to that Sharks team when he's not there playing at fullback, or if he could play on the wing. Mm. Jordan Hendrickson is 10 more than he is a 15. You kind of accommodate him at 15 if you want to play Sia. Mm. Mazuka at 10. Sia Khaleesi, just wonderful at 8. I don't know whether he was joking when he said to me, doesn't know if he's big enough to play 8 for the box. I think he's big enough, he's strong enough. But yeah, he'll be fine. Like you said, if Kwaka can play there, he can play there.
Yeah.
But he's added dimension to his game. And obviously, Tatuka,
Vincent, and yeah, Manny.
Whenever they find their passports or something, then they'll be in the mix as
well.
But there is great depth there with the Sharks. And it's I'm glad that they're in the top four at the moment, but they're not necessarily there with the greatest of conviction. And that you just want to see them put together a couple more better performances, because the way they're playing, the kind of hit and miss, it wouldn't shock you then if they get blown away at home in a quarter final. And you think
100%.
It's been coming through 100%. The league stages.
100%.
So do they then target the Champions Cup again, the Challenge Cup, and say, well, back-to-back winners of the Challenge Cup. And it's wonderful to win any form of silverware, but if you really are going to be taken seriously, you either have to win the Champions Cup or you've got to win your domestic league.
100%.
And that's why we don't take Leinster seriously. It's been 3 years, they won nothing. Okay?
Oh.
Into the fourth year. I mean, close but no cigar in the Champions Cup. And 3 seasons of URC rugby. True. And they've yet to play in a final, let alone win it. It is year 4 and they are looking quite fabulous. We're going to get to them, but just now, the Leinster 15, they went to Pretoria and played at Loftus. The big talking point, Radio Man, Sasha FM.
Oh.
I thought he was brilliant. A lot of people saying he tries too much. He takes too much contact. I think a guy called Zalem Nell told me, he needs to just calm it down, man. Why?
Well, I mean, so those playmaker guys, a guy like Sasha, and this is always like a third party view, right? It's never the player himself. You don't get to be that guy if you're actually an accountant. Like, you have to be a bit of a daredevil maverick stuntman to play professional rugby the way that he plays it. But he's so valuable and has so much potential and so much upside. And he plays in a position where you don't need to get gain line with your body. You know, you're going to use your hands, you're going to use your feet. To see him kind of volunteer for crash test dummy duty, it's just, it makes me wince, because we've seen it before with so many other players. It just takes one bad incident. And Sasha's a guy who's already missed a lot of time through injury. It would just be great to see him kind of just weigh up the risk reward in some of these situations and seek maybe the route that is not the most impressive at all times, but limits his risk to long-term injury. And I know I'm asking for the impossible there, but I'm really hoping that starts to come through in a player like that.
But surely that comes through with maturity in terms of on-field game time, because it's like asking Johnny Wilkinson in his early years not to take contact. It's like asking Dan Carter not to take contact. Now, for me, Carter and Wilkinson obviously were the best 10s of their generation. I've always thought Carter the best all round. Sasha, the closest I've seen to a Carter-like kind of presence. Now, he's always instinctively going to back what he wants to do, and that means taking contact. Now, if he was running onto the field with a, oops, I could get injured here, hey, I need to slow it down here, you're not going to see the Sasha that is as good as he is.
Yeah.
And so him stepping, seeing a prop coming across, thinking, I'm going to beat this prop. What he could never factor in is that the prop was coming with a lawnmower. Basically a grass cutter. That guy should have been sent, not to the bunker. He should have just been sent out of the URC
gulags
for about 4 weeks to 5 weeks. Alec Hepburn,
yeah.
It's his third yellow card. It should have been a straight red. He got him in the hips. No arms. No intent to ever wrap arms. Just to smash him. Gone a bit lower. That's the knee that's been operated on twice. He ends his match. He ends his season. He potentially ends his career. And everyone says, oh, the prop got his head on the wrong side. Now we get these accidental head clashes and it's straight red. It's got to go. That was far worse than anything I've seen this past weekend in terms of physical damage to a player. And it's a yellow card and it's play on. No arms. There was not no arms there. There was no intention to ever...
Well, that's the key, isn't it?
...make the tackle.
Well, that's the key.
And to come in at those grass cutter ones at someone's ankles, knees, and lower hip is threatening a player's career.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into it again because we kind of play this hard, but anything that's an incidental incident for me should never be a card. When heads clash incidentally, that should never, ever be a card, because this is the sport. This is rugby. You're going to have collisions at high speed, late change of direction, all that sort of stuff. But anytime you can throw the question, was that incidental, out the window, then I'm all for sanctioning foul play by sending players off. So in that instance, you can see there was absolutely no effort made to put an arm into that tackle. And so the intention was to be a missile.
And to stop a try.
And so
it's a 10 on a prop.
100%, I'm all for that.
And there wasn't even a hint of going to see, is there a penalty try here? It was even a discussion whether it was a yellow card.
Mm.
And
the point I'm making, though, is that Damien Willems is very much a similar player to Sasha in that he's a great playmaker and he's very physical in defense. But there's a recklessness about the way Sasha throws himself into contact that is a level beyond what I see from Damien Willems. And that's what worries me, is that Sasha may have got away with that at some of the lower levels, but he's running into some proper units in this test level. And I think he just needs to pick his battles a bit better. I don't want him to become soft. I don't want him to turn into Quade Cooper and never take contact.
Quade Cooper took contact.
No, but not the same way. Quade didn't drop his head and his shoulders and go into stuff. So Quade was a very clever player. That's why he's still alive today. I'm just saying, for Sasha, I mean, once he turned that corner and came back and freaking started picking up speed to get to maximum speed into whatever the next contact point was going to be, there was only ever going to be one conclusion to that, and that was going to be a monster collision. And I think there's too much quality in a player like that to risk that. So I would like to see him just be a little bit more circumspect. Don't get soft, but just have a think.
I want him to back himself, to play his natural game. I mean, that offload he made, that reverse pass offload, that to me is the best Stormers try of the season,
yeah.
And it's going to be up there with the best of the season. He he took that Scarlett's defense and just turned it into rubble with that pass, because it was such an accurate pass. It created so much width in terms of the attack for the Stormer Steppers. Even Ruben kind of like did everything to kind of...
Did you see what Wandy did?
To straighten it again. But eventually it got there. And yeah. And then the veteran, the youngster, Brunner's there to kind of finish it off with the support line.
Yeah.
But even the great show and go. Good composure there for Evan Rus as well. Not to concede the penalty. It could easily have happened, gone off his feet. But you get that from a Sasha. And I never want that to be kind of coached out of his game for fear of injury.
Totally.
It is a contact sport.
Totally.
We hope that he has a run of 10 years, like Jean de Villiers did after he got the horrific injuries.
Yes.
He kind of like, his body became battle hardened and he got through it. Sasha's also had a lot of misfortune with these freakish kind of injuries.
Mm.
But the moment he starts thinking, I'm not going to take contact because I need to get through 80 minutes, you're not going to see the Sasha that we know could become all round the best fly off of his generation.
So true.
And one of the best that we've seen play the game. Because he has every attribute. That first kickoff, it's one of the best exits I've seen in the Stormers start a game. Ball comes out to him. He sticks it down 5 meters into their own half. And we've effectively won 5 meters.
From kickoff.
On a kickoff to start the game.
Yeah.
And when he gets the ball, he's just doing some amazing things. I understand what you're saying.
Incredible player.
Not every moment is a magic moment.
Correct.
And we've criticized the Marnie factor for that and saying the Marnie magic can't happen on every play.
Correct.
But if you look at the natural footballer that Sasha is, he's constantly looking to break open the game.
Spot on.
But he's equally understanding when to stick it 60 meters into the corner, just the authority he has with his boot. Go back, for those who may not even know who Dan Carter is. He was one of the greatest 10 to play the game. And go look at what he did with the ball on his foot or with his hands and the ease with which he played. But he also took a hell lot of contact. Johnny Wilkinson wasn't quite as naturally flowing with the ball, but he could have played 12 as well, where he did start his career for England, alternating between 10 and 12. But he took a lot of contact. He was a physical bugger. But these guys also, they need to take contact to get into the game. They want to feel a part of it. And that was Damian Willems' thing, like you say. The closer he is to the ball, the more effective he is. Sticking at fullback, at times, it's like he's disinterested. He gets lost. But when he's playing 12 especially, and he doesn't have that all-round responsibility of the general at 10, he's just brilliant in those
close, dodging bullets. Yeah,
close contact areas.
Yep.
He creates that half a yard, offloading the tackle.
Bingo.
Wonderful player. It was great to see him back. Not his most glorious return, but then it's also he's not Superman.
Yeah.
He's been out for the best part of a year with an intermittent kind of two games and then out again, the groin.
Damien Willems' value was that he brought the best out of Warwick Hallant. The return of Damien Willems woke up Warwick Hallant. The game that guy had was insane. Some of those touches, the double clutch and then the pop to Dion for that try, ridiculous.
Look, you say woke him up, but I think Warwick Hallant has been the best back for the Stormers
all season.
And it's just that he was a one-man band. And he's been given license. I mean, I spoke to Dobbo about Dobbo. Said he has the license to attack.
Mm.
Because especially when there was no Sasha there, no Damien there, no Hartzenberg there, Zuss was injured at one stage.
Mm.
It's like they didn't have those X-factor players who could just turn it around. No Marnie there.
Mm.
It was like, have a go.
Mm.
And it's going to come off twice. It's not going to come off the third time. Don't be deterred.
Mm.
But people tend to remember the one that he spills or the one that he throws the amazing pass to, where Sasha or Armani or Damien Willems was running onto it. The other bloke doesn't even think that pass is ever going to come. He doesn't run onto it.
Yeah.
The guy who looks like a fool is Warwick for throwing it. So I just feel he's been done a disservice because too many people look at he's made another mistake, as opposed to the things he does. And his turnover count is one of the highest. And he gets stuck in there and he wins vital turnovers. And there wasn't a more vital one than that 75th minute. Somehow, the officiating had kept the Scarlets in that game. A few decisions, kind of typically of the Stormers, they kind of fell away a bit during that third quarter, starting to play too much laterally and too much kind of between the two 10-meter lines. Field position became secondary. And you thought, hang on a second, if these guys get that try at that point, because they were pushing Scarlets, the Stormers could actually go away here. and just an incredible turnover, 75th minute. Obviously, there was the late...
Never in doubt.
Andrei Kopenko. And, you know, isn't that consistent with the great opening season of URC from the Stormers? They took so many games in that 78th minute, 82nd minute. They just never stopped playing, but they got the wins.
That is a hallmark of this team.
And they just don't stop playing. They don't stop. At the end, to win a 29-17, 12 points, get the bonus point, was a good win. But, geez, they had to fight for it. But the Scarlet should never have had 15 players on the field. When the kamikaze Hepburn.
I mean, mate, you ever mentioned Wandy? That guy stepped about 12 players en route.
He did, and he made a tackle.
Mate.
And then I saw they were going back for a potential high, and I was like, no! He's made a tackle.
But go watch that clip again. You'll see when Ruben doesn't play, Wandy almost loses his mind. Yeah. And I think he may have said the P word.
Yeah. Play.
Pass
it now! But he stepped. I thought it would have been so amazing from an individual point of view.
Yeah.
Had he actually gone over for the try?
Yeah.
Stepped another one.
I mean, how many guys? Like, it was like a ninja
Brian
movie.
Williams in 1970 against the Springboks at Loftus. Yeah. Just he did all his stepping in that long in-goal area.
Yeah.
He stepped from the touchline to under the post. He stepped about five Springboks to make the kick conversion easier. But great to see him enjoying his attack.
Yeah.
Obviously, his biggest thing is that most critics want to see his defensive game better, his one-on-one tackling better. Mm. But what I did see in this game, and it's really down to Sasha, and when Marnie plays, you see it as well. The flamboyance was there with the backs again. The buzz
big
was
time.
There. And with no disrespect to whoever else has played there.
No, sure.
It's these guys are magical
different
players.
Grade.
And that's what, as the commentator said, the finest from the Cape. It was the finest from the Cape.
Yeah.
And it's going to be up there with the highlights package of tries of the season. In a weekend where there were plenty of tries, I mean, that Ospreys game against Connacht, 43-40. Even the Dragons, bottom of the table, Ulster coming back 30-26. Some big games, but the one that certainly didn't deliver the tries, some people said it was a turgid game. I don't think it was that bad. Watching with the one eye while I was watching the Stormers with the other eye was Loftus. The Bulls up against Leinster, 15, minus 17 of their internationals, and the Bulls won it 21-20. Interesting fact, the Bulls beat Leinster's A team with 18 internationals in it in the semi-final last season.
Beautiful.
25-20 at Loftus. Leinster then went on the attack. 16 matches in a row, unbeaten in all competitions. They go to Pretoria. They lose 21-20 to the Bulls again.
Fabulous.
So are the Bulls the boogie team?
Let's hope so. Now, the thing with that game, I mean, it was a fabulous result, and the way that it ended was so dramatic and entertaining. But the Bulls celebrated like they'd just beaten Ireland, you know. Like, I mean, it was very exciting. I'm just...
They had the Ireland Academy.
Yeah, exactly. The under-20s. I don't know, mate. Fantastic result. Very, very chuffed for the Bulls. Very chuffed for Darvey Creel with that kick. We spoke about the Sharks kind of being wishy-washy and not being consistent. I want to see that from the Bulls. I want to see the Bulls dominate. And they've got the cattle to do it. They've just got to click, I suppose.
They need a 10.
They need a 10.
They tried the Villy experiment. Didn't quite work. Jan Johannes, 10.
They also need a 12. I mean, I think if Villy plays...
They need Andre Pollard. They need him now.
Yeah. Eh? He's coming back,
but can't they just get on the blower to Leicester and say, look, let's be honest.
You're not going to
win the premiership.
Send him over.
We'll pay you a little bit extra.
Yeah.
We need Pollard. That's the Bulls for the playoffs. And they'll probably win the URC. Okay?
Yeah.
They just don't have that authority at 10 at the moment.
Yeah.
And
brave call by Jake to play Keegan Johannes. I thought it was a good effort.
Not necessarily a brave call. It's just kind of a call that he's at a loss.
Mm.
Are you telling me that whole region there's just not another guy who can come in and play 10?
I mean, so I would say I'm probably more experimental than Jake, and I would have played Villiers at 10 and made some other decisions like Devin Williams at fullback. So for me, it's a brave call to put him into this game, which you could tell by their reaction was must win, a huge one for them against Leinster. And the final scores on the board, they won.
They take the win, they consolidate the position. I mean, you beat Leinster, doesn't matter which Leinster side you beat. They've now beaten the A team, the B team, and the C team. So they beat the C team by 60-odd points. They beat the A team. And you can consistently say this would be a sprinkling of the B team with some big, big foreign-based internationals. Jordy Barrett's a class player. You know, we were so sell him to get to see him because he's been playing in Super Rugby and he's been playing for the Hurricanes. He's now gone to Leinster. He's made a huge impact there playing at 12. He's kind of the number one 12 now. Sorry about that, Ireland. they try to kind of move him around, but you've got to pick him. And Achie Snyman is just outstanding. I mean, wow. Monster. Could you imagine Achie Snyman in that Stormers pack, playing in that Stormers style of rugby? Could you
ridiculous.
Imagine? Could you imagine that Sasha pass goes out to Achie, and well, they've taken 10 guys out the game with two passes, you know? Yeah. So just great player. And then that Frenchman, that big tough bugger, the prop, his name is Slimani. Yeah, it was also very good. But it was incredible how it came down to that last scrum. There were quite a few resets there. The feeling is that the Bulls were lucky not to be penalised. It was a Leinster put in. Your thoughts there?
I think that anybody that thinks the Bulls were lucky needs to take a look at Chakwene. I'm sure I'm getting his name wrong. Alulutu Chakwene. How that guy got yellow carded for that excellent low tackle in that game blows my mind. It was a fabulous tackle. Chakwene had a standout game, got in over the ball with steals, made some monster hits, was launching himself all over the place. The fact that the Bulls had to play without that production for 10 minutes, I don't think they were lucky at all. At the end there, yes, could calls have gone the other way. At a scrum, you can always argue for either side. I'm chuffed that they came away with it.
But when the scrum finally happened, I mean, it was palpable. Even in Arneson, at the Arneson Hotel, I was sitting there, you could just hear those Bull supporters breathing, okay?
Like you on the mic.
Yeah. Breathing like that. And I knew if the kick missed, they'll rip off the Bulls jersey and the Stormers jersey would be nicely displayed. Okay. They had something Stormers under them, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Then they'd have to celebrate some kind of win.
Yeah.
But there was this anticipation, and it was like, but this belief, it has to be a scrum penalty to the Bulls, and then the Bulls did monster them in the scrum. Some say it was legal. Some say it was illegal. The fact of the matter is they stuck them back into Centurion.
Yes, they did. Morne Smith, some great stuff there.
On their way to OR Tambo via Centurion. And then it was Darby Creel. Show us you've got the BMT. He's not the most natural of goal kickers.
Yeah.
And he showed a big pair there.
Yeah, he did.
Clutch moments. Darby Creel and
huge kick.
And Jordan Hendricks are both big kicks to win their games for the Sharks and obviously for the Bulls, 21-20. But again, it's just like something, it's just the Rachni Zells.
You can also see Zebre going to Loftus now and like surprising the Bulls. In the same way you expect the Sharks to probably thrash Leinster this week. Anything could happen with these two teams. It's an unsettling feeling.
No, look, I think what's going to happen with Zebre and the Bulls is going to be like one of those 41-36 games. No, defense is not going to really be on the cards.
Mm.
As long as the Bulls get their 5 points, I'll say, as long as we've got more points, one more point, and we have.
That's every fullback on the high field, man. Yeah. I can't wait to see.
Well,
that.
They just don't kick the ball to him. I hope that's in the
that's
kind of, yeah, I hope that's in the kind of video session this week.
Yeah.
Ma, it's just nie reg nie.
What? What? Tell me what?
Vietnam. Hulle bera, nice one in
I can't take you seriously.
Anyone who flip gepraat, they say, yeah, what gaan aan met die Bulls? I mean, hulle speel by die altitude, and the attitude and alles. And hulle het my Wilco. Hulle vir Jan Hendrik. Hulle is groot, meneer. Maar, kom in de laatste 20 minuten, kom die mannen van Europe, en kom die mannen van Ierland, en hulle speel ons off our feet.
Off our feet.
They just seem to be the team hanging on every time in the last 15 to 20 minutes. And they're the team at home. We speak about this every week. Northampton killing them out in that second half and got a win where you thought it should have been 37 at halftime to the Bulls. They were hanging on against the Stormers. And really, with those terrible conditions, the lungs couldn't have sapped too much because it wasn't like it was this game played at the most incredible pace. The Sharks, they were nowhere for that last 25-30 minutes. So they had a 15-12 advantage.
True.
For 10 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
And they've just, even the match against the Lions, they started so well, three quick tries, and then they were hanging on again. And they got to try to kind of make it safe. But that, and I know you did speak about it in last week's show, but that intensity, you go back to the Bulls team that won Super Rugby three times in a row. The Donny Rousseau's, the Victor Matfields, the Bucky's Buertas, Farida Prayer morning. Okay, maybe that's my answer. Listen to the team.
None of those guys are there.
They're not there anymore. And the Brian Abanas. So,
yeah.
Okay, that could be it. Because when they started a game and they got a 20-point lead, it was over.
Yeah.
They took a 20-point lead and turned it into 45, 50 points. Okay, so I've answered that myself. There is no Bucky's Boots, Victor Matfield, Donny Rousseau, Farida Prayer, Mornay Steyn playing at the moment. And no Brian Abanas to finish it off just yet. He's in Japan, Curtly Oranser. So, but there's just something that seems amiss, you know. Jay Fanidon, I like him. He's a good lock. He'll play for South Africa this year. Otherwise, he's off to France and he'll do the Paul Willemse thing. No, he won't. He'll play for us. But it's just the Rachni Zells.
Yeah, I think you've touched on it there with the drop-off in quality. I mean, Mornay Smith did great at the end there, but the difference between Wilco and Mornay's significance. And I just feel like as much as the Bulls get credit for rotating their squad, there isn't the same investment in the depth of those guys to start. Like, there are changes, don't get me wrong, but I just get the feeling like it's the starters that need to win the game. The focus on the bench probably isn't where it needs to be. And I think they've got the players to inject some guys off the bench and win games in the fourth quarter, but it takes a commitment in terms of your planning. And I'm not sure that's there.
All right. So the positive for the Bulls is they got the 5 points and they ended Leinster's unbeaten run. And for that, we'll say, Die blow bull yet nie van die vloer af nie. Die blow bull ik ken nie van vloer af nie. So we'll say well done to the Bulls.
Well,
Marcel Katsia, Jake. You got the win. Chris Rousseau.
Andries Becker.
Yeah. I was going to say Gary Gold, but he's in a coffee shop in Cape Town working for World Rugby. He's no longer with the Bulls. But yeah, it's. I think the expectation we have of the Bulls is that we're bemoaning a 21-21 against a very good, competent Leinster side that would beat most teams in the league with that side. Mm. Where they've been spoiled is they've got an international side that is their A team.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm the Leinster coach, or if I'm Ninas, and I'm watching this game, we lose by 1 point at Loftus-Versfeld, and the Bulls celebrate like they've just won the URC. That's a massive feather in our cap, because we've come here with a bunch of second and third stringers. We've pushed the Bulls all the way, and it took a very late penalty kick to stop us from beating them.
I did see Jacques Nienaber leave the coaching box at 2018 to walk down when their penalty came. I think he knew.
He knew, mate.
He knew. These guys are going to Oro Tambo by Centurion right away. But a great effort. And look, he's a great coach, Jacques Nienaber, and has progressed from just being seen as a defensive coach and assistant coach as the head coach of the Springboks, a World Cup winning coach, coach of the year, World Rugby. He's gone over to Leinster. When they struggle, he's apparently the coach. When they win, Leo Cullen is still in charge.
Yeah.
So, interesting to see Brian O'Driscoll say the problem is that Jacques Nienaber is coming and effectively destroyed Leinster.
Leinster and defend differently to Ireland.
And
it's a
all
big
I can
problem.
Say is, Rassi, you genius. You send Felix in to confuse England, and now you send Jockey to destroy Ireland.
Exactly.
What a masterstroke.
Franco's about to pull the plug in Scotland.
So we don't really need that, but give them false hope.
Yeah,
okay?
Wales,
we kind of got a little thank you from Warren Gatland for doing that. I was thinking about it the other day that we spoke about the Bok management being 21 and they need to get up to 23.
Yeah.
And Tony Brown is in, obviously. He covers the base from New Zealand. Felix is back now from England. And those are the two teams that would trouble us, especially New Zealand's backs and then obviously England's forwards always. And then France, obviously.
Flock?
Flocky.
Yeah.
And then Jacques from Ireland. So if Flock comes in as the kicking coach.
Yeah, there we go.
And Jacques comes in, what? The ideal management 23 is probably even stronger than the Bok 23. Now, that is what you call planning over a 10-year period.
Incredible, mate.
What we'll do is we'll send you in after 2 World Cup wins.
Correct.
We'll bring you in to show you what a World Cup looks like. Yep. And then we'll just take it from there. And because Flock has been outstanding with that fringe team. I mean, Thomas Rumas was a great goal kicker, but they just don't miss. I mean, they up in the 80% all the time. Their kicking game is good. It suits. Like, I mean, they play that. They kick the ball long, and then they say to you, come back, run it back at us. And then they look to the bench, and they see, like, that big bomb squad waiting to come on, chopping their bit.
Yeah.
But Flok Seliers, he's not given enough due for what he's done.
True that.
For France. And I see him for once. Flocky.
Polisi.
Russo Clocky, Flocky. And I mean, he used to play there. I've mentioned this story before when I was a youngster in the under-20s at Western Province Police. He was the main guy on the main side there. He played for police, played for Province, got his Springbok cap. Bloody good. He'd be perfect in Super Rugby as well. The kind of game that he played. Left-footed drop goals, right-footed drop goals. He could play. Floxilias. And just the most understated human being as well. So lovely.
And hilarious. Great sense of humor.
His French is far better than his
English. This is true.
So, yeah. So, credit to Jacques for kind of... It's funny how when things were going well, the attention was on him. And the minute they took the lead... Through Burns' penalty, it was back onto Leo Cullen, just working his laptop. Leinster will be very competitive in Durban, and the Sharks are going to have, we're going to cover that later in the week, but the Sharks are going to have to be bloody good to beat them. And then maybe there isn't such a big difference between the A and the B team. Ever thought about that?
That's true, mate. That's possible.
So, three South African wins. I'm going to quickly go into my phone because I took a photo of this, Cells.
Okay, what is
while
it?
While you breathe heavily into the mic. And I just wanted to see this... congested URC.
Yes,
table.
Mate.
Okay. So.
I mean, I think the Lions are 4 points behind the Stormers. Is that right?
I'm going to tell you everything, okay? So we've got the Cardiff are fifth at the moment. They won 6 out of 13 matches. The Lions are 13th. They've won 6 out of 13 matches.
How many points is that?
They've got 30 and Cardiff have got 35. So it's bonus points. Okay?
And the Stormers have got 33.
The Stormers have got 33. They're eighth.
Look at that.
So if you look at the log here, positions 5. Through to 15, the difference is one league win.
Yep.
Palmer, Zebre Palmer on 27 points in the 15th place. And they've got 7 bonus points. They've won 5 games. Scarlets have won 5 games. Lions 6 games. Cornacht 5 games. Benetton 6 games. Ulster 6 games. Stormers 6 games. Ospreys 6 games. Munster 6 games. And Cardiff 6 games. So position 5 down to, if you look position 5, 35 points for Cardiff. 34 Munster, 33 Ospreys, 33 Stormers, 32 Ulster, 32 Benetton, 31 Edinburgh, 31 Connacht, Lions 30, Scarlets 28, Zebre Palmer 27. There's two competitions going on here.
100%.
There's a top four and there's the rest.
Everybody except Dragons.
And that, yeah, and the Dragons. Yeah. Now they've won 1 out of 13. Well, they're keeping the Welsh thing
going. They're consistent, mate.
They're getting another title, another wooden spoon.
Cabinet's full.
Well, who said we couldn't win anything? 2 wooden spoons in the season. 6 Nations wooden spooners, URC wooden spooners. It all happened in Wales. Wales. Now, I do like the Welsh, yeah. Good people. Good
I can
people.
Tell.
No, they're good people, man. They're great people. They just got to get a good coach in there, a local coach, and invest in local players. And a guy who really impressed me for the Scarlets is not local. Marnus van der Merwe, the hooker.
Jeez, mate, he's coming on strong.
He's good, eh?
He's a good player.
Time to get him back to South Africa,
mate. I don't know, mate.
I think so. Yeah. We could do with a few hookers in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
So to look at a table like that, wow. You've got a good thing going in a competition. It's getting tighter every season. And when Leinster do lose this golden generation, they're getting less and less, they'll be brought back into the pack as well. And the wonderful thing about this is also playoffs, because every year Leinster has been up there, top 2, top 1. And they've blown it. And last year was the first time ever they had to travel for a semi-final away from Dublin.
It didn't and the work Bulls out did for them.
There's going to be plenty to come in the months of April, May, and June. And I still think 4 South African teams can make the top 8.
Well, the Lions can do the Sharks and the Bulls a huge favour this week if they win in Glasgow, because Glasgow are 4 points ahead of the Bulls and 5 ahead of the Sharks. If the Lions do some magic this week, who knows? We could have a team in second.
Although I think the Stormers would say, Glasgow, go ahead and win.
Yeah, for sure.
Means the Lions drop further back.
Correct.
So then a national patriotism goes out the window for what happens
with
regional.
Imagine 4 teams in the playoffs, mate.
All right. So it was a great weekend of URC.
Indeed
we got
it was.
3 from 4. Unacceptable on our part. When we say 4 from 4, par favor, it's just not good enough. Zells, but we were close to being very little from 4.
Indeed.
Which shows we are human. Super Rugby, I'm loving that competition. I know you can't stand
it. I don't not stand it.
Why don't you like it?
I do like Super Rugby. I'm not sure it's as serious as some of the other competitions.
I don't know.
It's quite a lot of fun in there.
I don't know, mate. I'm getting a little bit nervous about September, I must say. September's going to be hard for us, eh?
The Reds are coming on nicely.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about going to Auckland and going to England. The Kiwis. When the Crusaders are strong, mate. And the Blues are on holiday at the moment. They're still partying after winning the biggest competition in the world.
Yep.
Vern Cotter's not happy. He says life's tough there at the moment. Chiefs are looking good. Nice to see the Aussie teams, three of their teams in the top six. And that's good for that British and Irish Lions too. I see that the prices have come out, 552,000 Rand for one tour package.
We'll take two.
I took 10. But they said, are you serious? And I said, no, mate, I'm not. I don't have 10 mates. So there is huge interest. And there's something that's buzzing about Aussie rugby at the moment. It's great to see.
Yeah.
The Kiwis are coming. Without a doubt, they're coming. It's going to be – There's a freshness and a rejuvenation about Super Rugby that wasn't there last year, wasn't the year before that. I'm really enjoying it. There is quality. It's a different kind of game. The set piece, not as intense as you'll see, but you've always said the conditions also allow for this fast-paced game and the tracks.
True.
So loving watching that. For those that don't know, the Blues are 1 from 5, and they won the championship last year.
1 from 6,
one from six, that's right. They've lost 5 and 1-1. And it's a reversal. The Crusaders, who won 42-19 in Auckland in the big North-South derby, they were in the same position last year when they had 1-1 and lost 6, and the Blues kind of did them.
Yeah.
But in Auckland, because they lost to them. It's one of the few games they won was down in Christchurch.
Yeah.
So they have absolute dominance in that North-South derby that used to be the big game in New Zealand. I think it's something like 19-3 or 20-3.
Wow.
Over the last years. It's like saying the Bulls and the Stormers are the big derby, but it's 8-2 to the Stormers. Is that a derby or is that assault? Top 14.
Yes.
We see Toulouse lost at home to the Bordeaux Bagels.
Bordeaux, correct.
And that result surprised you.
Did they play in Toulouse? I thought they played in Bordeaux.
No, they played in Bordeaux.
Yeah, they did play in Bordeaux. That Toulouse team, like you said, mate, missing a bunch of French internationals. There were 7 different nationalities in that starting lineup for Toulouse. Very few of the French internationals, if any. Bordeaux had their French players back. Luku, Penaud, Biel, Biarri, all of those guys in the mix.
Ooh, I so, like that. Can you say that again?
I've been practicing that for months, mate. great result for Bordeaux. And like we know about French rugby, mate, don't win on the road, mate.
Say it again, Louis.
What do they do with the trick? What does he say?
Do it.
Do the roar.
Do the roar.
Do it.
The roar.
Do it. Do the roar. Do it, daddy.
Do the roar.
Do it.
Biel, Biarri.
I love you, Ricky. You're actually a natural Frenchman, you know.
Oh,
that,
mate, I'd love that. I'd love
every
that.
Every time you
I love to wear a beret.
With a baguette. You like to eat a baguette and wear a beret, eh?
Exactly.
Oh, when I went there with Big Gav, and it was wonderful because he just wants to eat chicken. So it's like poulet.
Yeah.
So every time you come home with 2 chickens. When we were staying in the 2007 World Cup.
Because he couldn't say one, he had to say 2.
Hey, but that got him. He said, they get me every time. Du poulet. He doesn't need to do that. It's du poulet. And then, I said, thank God they didn't come home with ducks because Gav loves canard.
Yes, he does,
he wants to have canard.
Yeah.
So I would say to Gav, the only thing you have to know here is du be précision, s'il vous plaît. Gav's, what's that? Two beer, draft beers. And then I said to him, un café latte. Gav's like, what do you say? I said, a cafe latte. I'm ordering a cafe latte.
What do you say, cappuccino?
but Gav's a legend in France. They love him, man. He's toured there many times. But when we used to land on tour, Gav's first thing, we're going out tonight to the bistro and I want to have my duck. Canard.
What is it with that guy?
He loves duck, Gabby. Gav, we're going to get him on the show at some time.
We must.
If Supersport release him to us. Or if he's back from all his travels. I mean, the guy travels everywhere.
He can just wear a fake mustache.
Yeah, but he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He's got some tour tales. Okay?
For sure.
So top 40, the South Africans are there for you. That's an SA rap, SAFA rap on SA Rugby Magazine. Yep. Lots of SAFAs playing there. But if you look also at that league, we'll talk about the toughness of URC. That league is... You play 26 matches in the league and you win 16-17, you top the table.
Yeah.
Which is no guarantee you're going to win the thing either. So correct. Top 14, hell of a tough league to win. The Premiership, not the toughest league to win because there's 10 teams, there's 10 teams in the top 8 and no one can go down.
No, mate.
Newcastle are even going to be funded now by the other guys.
Destruction of
imagine
the Premier
Bulls giving the Stormers cash just to stay up.
Right? That would never happen. Yeah, I don't know how 8 of those 10 teams go to the Champions Cup. This is ridiculous.
Well, I think now the Stormers would give the Bulls cash to stay up because it's 8-2. Keep on
two
playing.
Two easy wins.
Keep on playing, mate. But the hit of the week, and we said it in our newsletter, mention that guy's name. Who he played for, the guy smoked the guy. I sent you that tackle.
I don't remember it, mate.
Did you not see it? You still said, oh, beautiful music to my ears.
The rugby league thing.
No. It wasn't rugby league, rugby union.
Which one did you show me, mate? Give me a name.
It doesn't matter, but I sent it to you. It came out of the it's on Henry Slade. Henry Slade nearly gets decapitated, munched. Gets the offload away.
Oh.
They score, and the comments are, that guy should be in jail for the tackle, but it's perfectly illegal.
Sami Penny Finau.
And that's his name.
There we go. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, thanks that's for reading the hit, newsletter.
That's a great hit, mate. Oh, look at that.
You even commented Beautiful. On it.
Oh.
So
no, I remember this. I thought it was a league.
So someone, yeah, you, that's how much you concentrate. Okay, here I was doing the prep for you.
I thought it was, not Tangi, but what was his name? Sirelli Nakalivuki.
Mate, read our newsletter, the one that you contribute to.
I love that newsletter. Mate, that is gold. That newsletter, mate, I never go anywhere without reading it twice.
That was the hit of the week. You still said to me, wow,
crack
proper.
Yeah, I watched that clip.
But interesting to see the comments. Some were like, this is outrageous. It's grievous bodily harm. Someone like, perfect rugby moment.
Of course it was.
Great hit.
Great hit.
Somehow Slade got the ball away and somehow they scored.
This is why people watch. They want to see those hits.
Slade was carried off 2 minutes later. So that was our hit of the week. Obviously, our clutch moments. And then because we love South African rugby, the schools are playing again. There's big festivals going on everywhere. If you go to the SA Rugby magazine channel, you can get the results. You pop onto kia.co.za, the results are there as
They're
well.
They're there too, mate.
And some very, very interesting results. Paul Rus just won against Draw State Tech.
Mm.
What's his name? Great College on the move. They're pumping everyone again. Nothing's changed
What's
there.
News? Yeah.
But their SA Cup team called the Cheetahs.
Ooh.
Under Francis Steyn, they struggled a bit. 46-38 reverse against the Pumas in the SA Cup. And they run the danger a bit at the moment. And you can't...
I said it last week, man. They could miss the Curry Cup.
Well, that would be diabolical.
It would be. I was going to say the Cheetahs should play the Dragons in a promotion relegation for URC, mate. But
it's like we need the Cheetahs to be strong. We need the Cheetahs to be the fifth best franchise in or province, and then Greek Wiz, and then the Pumas.
Correct.
But at the moment, Greek Wiz Pumas are edging ahead of Cheetahs, and maybe the Cheetahs then become the feeder. Not to the Sharks.
Right. To the Pumas.
To the Storm. Thanks, France. How many have you got for us there? So, yeah, that's some interesting results there. What was very distressing and disturbing, 118-3
against
Border Leopards.
Bulldogs. Oh, Border, yeah, that's right.
The Elephants also, they've been indifferent, but they lose some big games. But just know, and you don't want to see 118-3.
That's not good for rugby, mate.
Not good for rugby.
I told somebody they scored. They said, how did they take the 3 wickets?
You know, this is the Border. This is the team that historically have beaten the All Blacks.
Correct.
Have beaten the British and Irish Lions.
Yeah.
We need that region in the Eastern Cape to always be strong. EP... Border Bulldogs, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. The factions, the fighting that goes on there politically. The only guy who seemed to get it right was Solly when he came in and did very well with Luke Watson as his captain. Cheeky was then the president. That also imploded, though, when they were the kins and out of Super Rugby.
Mm.
But, yeah, something needs to change there in that region. We really need the Bulldogs and the mighty Elephants.
Well, Elephants won on the weekend, beat the Eagles, mate. Good for them.
They did, but you see who they beat.
The Eagles,
yeah.
Yeah.
They need to be going a little bit north and winning a game or two.
Sure.
And interesting enough, the guys from your mates, the Purple Panther Eaters.
Yes, Griffins.
Yeah,
they did
Griffins
well.
And Volcom. They're still ensuring that Oaks have to play an away game there. They're still in there somehow.
Yeah.
SA Cup. So we had SA Cup, Japan, Mark Pickering, the Welshman who started.
JP League One.
JP League One, yeah. We've said go there and follow his Insta feeds, follow his X feeds. It's always about the South African, New Zealand, and Australian players. It's in English. 16,500 at the one game. Crowds that are close to 20,000. That's fantastic.
Mm. I think it's also compulsory. Those people work for the company. If they don't rock
that's
up,
that's fantastic.
They get
for
a demotion.
Rugby, mate. And that's not very good for Wales because they'll be going there for two test matches. And it is firing them all up at the moment.
Yeah.
Wales head to their 18th and 19th Woo. Defeats on the road without their best players and playing the Lions series. We've got lots of rugby coming up again this weekend. Fabulous rugby coming up again this weekend. But you know, when I looked at the URC and I saw Athias Naaman playing for Leinster and especially Geordie Barrett, it'd be great if we could have a couple of those Kiwis playing in our franchises or one or two of the the very good Irish or French players.
Why?
Because it would just be, add such appeal to our URC teams.
I don't want anybody from overseas getting comfortable playing in South Africa or with South Africans. I want us to be robust and a foreign entity, mate, to make it as difficult as possible to beat the Springboks. Keep them over there in Europe. The best thing that happened to South African rugby is them accepting our players onto their payroll. Fantastic. We kind of have a feel for their conditions and their rugby culture, and they don't know anything about us. MI5, mate. Haven't you watched James Bond?
Well, you can't find Ricky, and that insular view was brought to you by Zells. We'll be back next week. Cheers.